One of the greatest blessings I ever received in my life I got when I felt least like praising. And why didn't I feel like it? Why? Because I was bound inwardly. I was dark. You can't imagine that because you've known me differently. But before I came to Brooklyn, before I was really filled with the Holy Ghost, I used to be dark. I used to be mad. And when I came to Pentecostal meetings where they praised the Lord, I said, oh, these people are hysterical. They're just imitating one another, I said. And I couldn't praise the Lord. I was mad. I was angry. I was critical. I didn't know that these things were of the devil. But I found it out. Thank God, I found out that when we don't rejoice in the Lord always, why, we sin against God. The Bible says we are the circumcision who rejoice in Christ Jesus. That's what sets us apart from this dark world. We walk in the light as He is in the light, in whom there is no darkness at all. And there was darkness inside of me. Now you might call it what you please. We have such nice Latin names. Instead of calling you a liar, they call you a prevaricator. That sounds better. But you're just a plain liar. Praise the Lord. And instead of calling you a dumper, they call you a melancholy person. That sounds better. And so we turn on our radio and we sing a song that makes us feel good. If to pine in a dungeon were e'er my fate, while light struggled in through the iron grate, what view would most soothe my unwearied eye? The boundless ocean, the earth or skies? Sniff, sniff, boo-hoo. But the Bible says that His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise. The joy of the Lord. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. And then I discovered that that was the reason I didn't have fullness of joy, because I didn't abide in His presence. I drove Him away. I said, I can't use it just now. I got to be mad. Flesh. When I discovered that, I repented of it deeply. But you know, I found the thing had dug itself right into my soul. One time I caught a mouse. Now this is just an illustration. The mouse was in the pantry, and I thought I'd have a hard time catching it. I didn't. I could just put my hand on it, and it was so docile. And then I found out why. There was an animal almost as big as the mouse that had eaten itself into its vitals, and the mouse had to carry it around. That was me. I mean, that was the mouse, but something had eaten into my vitals. Beloved, it was serious, very serious. I lost the presence of God whenever I yielded to that. And that's why I would like to say, like our sister Anna said, thank God for praise meetings where we don't manufacture praise, but we praise God because He is worthy. And because the Holy Spirit comes to lift us and to help us. And so I said, next time I go to meeting, next time I went to meeting, they were all praising the Lord. Thank God I came to a church where praise was offered all the time. They praised until they got hoarse in almost every meeting. And when they lifted their hands, I couldn't get mine up. They were like heavy hands hanging on. Did you ever feel like that? Can't get your hands up. Couldn't open my mouth. But I said, now or never. And when they praised the Lord, I stuck them up. And I opened my mouth, and it felt as if somebody was choking me. But I did it with faith, and I said, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then a great transformation came over me, which has stuck with me. That heaviness, that darkness left, just went out of me. And the glory of God filled my soul, and my body became as light as a feather. You can't explain that, but it means that that dark devil had gone out and Jesus Christ, the King of Glory, had come in. That's what praise does for you. And nothing will do that. You can turn on all your phonograph records. You can say, Das ist im Leben hässlich eingerichtet, dass bei den Rosen gleich die Dornen stehen. Kaum hat man sich gemütlich eingerichtet, zum Schluss kommt doch ein Voneinandergehen. And you can play all those records and just sink deeper into the mire. But beloved, praising the Lord, whosoever offereth praise, oh, this offering is acceptable in the sight of God. He accepts it. Thank God. He is worthy. And oh, what a privilege I have to praise the Lord and then have God come to me. He inhabits the praises of His people. He flows through the praises of His people into your soul, and nothing else will take the place of praise. Nothing. And that's why we need meetings where the Holy Spirit gets a chance to lift us. And now this word to those of you who don't feel like it. You're missing a great blessing. The way to do is when everybody praises the Lord and you feel least like it, stick out your chest, put up your hands, open your mouth, pull out all the stops, and praise the Lord and see what will happen. God says, this is the way in which I will show him my salvation. That's the way the German Bible puts it. Wer Dank opfert, der preiset mich. Und da ist der Weg. Nicht da im Loch, sondern da. Dass ich ihm zeige, das Heil Gottes preist den Herrn. Behold, God is my salvation, and God has become my song. Hallelujah. And so, this is a lesson you ought to learn. I learned it because I wanted to learn it. I had to learn it. It was absolutely necessary for me to learn that lesson. I would not have become a preacher if I hadn't. Wouldn't. Oh, I might have preached learned sermons, you know. That's easy to do. You can buy them. You can memorize them. But it's a different thing to be a vessel sanctified and meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. If you keep looking at yourself and your inadequate ways and your unworthy ways, you may not feel like praising the Lord. But I've told you to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and let him take over and see if praises will not well up within your heart. I think it's a very interesting word which I quoted a while ago, but I'll have to quote it in German, and some of you German students can interpret it. Wer Dankopfert. How is that in English?
Whoso offereth praise.
Whosoever brings praise as an offering. Wer Dankopfert, der preiset mich. He it is he that praises me. Und da ist der Weg. This is the way upon which I will reveal to him my salvation. Now that's a very wonderful, wonderful word of God. And we have another very wonderful word in Psalm. Now listen, I'll quote it and you guess which it is. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now you don't have to make the Lord faithful. He is faithful. You don't have to make him want to forgive your sins. He has already borne them. And you don't have to make Jesus Christ willing to heal you from your sicknesses. He's already borne them. If you want to know, like the leper, Lord, if you will, you can heal me. And you ask him, Lord, maybe there's somebody in this meeting who needs healing. And you can say, now I wonder if the Lord is willing to heal me. Why, for goodness sake, he showed his willingness on the cross of Calvary when he took your infirmity. Beloved, it's a great fact which all hell is not able to uproot. Himself took, thank God. And that's why this psalm says, bless the Lord, O my soul. That's where we start out. To drink of that water of life that Jesus Christ gives us. We come to the Lord. We come to the great treasury of Jehovah. We come with empty baskets. We come like the sons of that widow woman when Elijah came to her and said, now, you're bankrupt, are you? And you're going to die. She said she was going to die. And he said, wait a minute. You can always die, but here's a blessing for you. Go and borrow vessels, not a few. Get as many as you can. And you can see those boys dragging those vessels into the house and around the house and happy to have so many vessels. I don't know how big those boys were, but I suppose they brought bathtubs, empty bathtubs. And I suppose they brought garbage cans, empty garbage cans. Of course, they cleaned them out first. And I suppose they brought coffee cans or anything that was a vessel. And maybe thimbles. Just a little vessel. And praise the Lord, he said, not a few. Bring them around. There's enough oil to fill all these vessels. And when Jesus Christ says, behold, I go to my Father and your Father, and whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And when God says, my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I was trying to tell this morning of some things that God did for me. And I can only tell a little bit because people call me a liar. When I tell them my rabbit story, I told them this morning, a man called me a liar. He won't come around anymore. He says, Brother Walpole told me a lie. I told him how that one time when I was the Sunday school superintendent, I needed a rabbit to illustrate the Sunday school lesson. So, of course, I got my rabbit on Saturday. And Sunday morning when I got up early, I thought, my goodness, my poor rabbit has had nothing to eat. Why? That's terrible. I had a rabbit and I didn't take care of him. And so I went down Myrtle Avenue thinking that maybe I could find an open store someplace, but everything was locked. And so I didn't get scared. I just stood still and closed my eyes and talked to Jesus about my rabbit. I stood like this. I can show you the spot. It was right near the fire on the sidewalk. And when I opened my eyes, right at the tip of my toes, there was a bunch of cabbage or something that rabbits like to eat. Now, we call that Kohl in German. And it was tied together, and there were dewdrops on it. And now, if all the preachers in the world don't believe it, my rabbit believed it, and he ate it. You know, as it was in the days of Noah. Those professors of theology, those sons of God, didn't believe Noah. But the camels and the donkeys, they all went in. And my rabbit, he received it and he believed it. And the unsearchable riches of Christ, they are waiting to be bestowed upon God's people. And when Old Testament people refused to let God have his way, he had ducked them out of Egypt, ducked them out of their slavery, made them his sons and his daughters. And he said, I called you out of Egypt in order to fill the whole world with my glory. And I'm going to perform miracles among you, such as have never been heard. And he did one after the other, opened the Red Sea for them, brought them through, and drowned the army of Pharaoh, and then gave them bread from heaven to eat and water out of the flinty rock, and let them day and night by the pillar of cloud and by the pillar of fire, and performed one miracle after another. And still they grumbled and they didn't believe him. And when finally God had brought them up to the border of the promised land and wanted to take them into a land flowing with milk and honey, he couldn't get them across because they murmured against him. They said, God can't get us in. They said, our children are going to be a prey. And God brought their children in. And now the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Who is this Lord? Why, it's Jesus. Your Jesus. Your Lord. And he tells us what he will do, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Tonight we praise him because he's forgiven our iniquities. And we say they're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. Your sicknesses are there too. As soon as you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your sickness will lose its power. It'll definitely lose its strength because by his stripes we are healed. And you don't have to ask the Lord, are you willing to heal me? You don't have to ask him, are you willing to forgive my sins? He says, he begs, he beseeches you, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us. For us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's no question at all that God is willing. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And he says, if you offer praise, there's the way, and I'll show you my salvation. What is salvation? And beloved, that same precious blood that paid the price for and the penalty for my sin has also taken away my sickness. And tonight we ought to have another season of praise for the healing of our bodies. Something will happen to you. Glory to God. I've gone through that a number of times. And I was thinking of a friend of Sister Schultz's in China who, when black smallpox invaded their compound and everybody had to be vaccinated, this one missionary said, no, Jesus is my physician. I won't take that poison in my blood. And she ministered to the others while the other missionaries hid themselves. They were afraid of the smallpox. And they went in hiding. And this missionary ministered to the sick and the dying. And then suddenly that dark thing came upon her. Dark pustules came out all over her body, fever raging through her veins. And the missionary said, serves her right. Why doesn't she use common sense and be vaccinated? But here she was really in an awful condition. And no help. All the other missionaries said it's good for her, serves her right. What did she do? She went up and down praising the Lord. Blessing the Lord, like Psalm 103 says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now that's either true or it isn't. If God is true, then it's true. And she praised the Lord, mind you. How would you do that? You didn't praise him tonight, some of you. And here, dying woman, going up and down, up with her hands, praising the Lord, just praising the Lord, just blessing the Lord. And she said, Lord, please, send me somebody to help me praise the Lord. And presently a missionary came and said, the Lord has sent me to help you praise the Lord. So these two kept walking up and down. I don't know how long, it must have been hours. Mind you, that black smallpox would have killed her. But after a little while, it left her. She was, by morning, she was as sort of clean and as healthy as she had ever been, a living example of the truth of God's gospel and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, this Lord whom we praise, thank God. We don't praise him for naught. We praise him when we're saved, and we praise him when we're healed, but we ought to praise him before. Before we're healed, praise God. Faith is substance of things not seen. That's where the devil is smitten. When poor Job was smitten with sickness, I always say, as long as he brought home his pay envelope on Saturday, he was Prince Charming. But when he lost his job and he came home with B.O. and halitosis, his wife says, you're good for nothing. You might as well die. And she finally picked him up with her vacuum cleaner and put him in the ash can. And poor Job, he was really down. But what did he say? He said, I know that my Redeemer is alive. My Redeemer. And if he's my Redeemer, his job is to redeem me. And he said, and in my flesh shall I see God. My God is not going to forsake me whom he has created, but he's going to come and redeem me. And because of Job's faith, I think the devil's still scratching himself. He must have walked off with all the boils that Job had. Oh my, what a victory that man won, because he praised God when he felt least like it, and he overcame. And beloved, that's the wonderful weapon God puts into our hands, to praise for effect. Glory to God, not to create a willingness in God's mind to heal us, but to believe him when all hell is against us, when the devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking to devour us. And we say, like, who was it that said, Dennoch bleibe ich stets an dir, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and joy in the God of my salvation. Beloved, that's the way in which we find our God to be faithful. And as true as you are in need tonight, so true God is giving you an opportunity to experience him. Why, that's an opportunity, thank God. I knew of a widow woman in Germany who had no more money to pay her rent, and her pastor knew about it, and he didn't have it either. And the landlord had threatened to dispossess her. And he knew it, and he thought, well, I can't pay her rent. But he went to comfort her. And when he came, he thought, of course, he'd find a woman with a woe-begone. Do you have such a woe-begone face? My, some people are artists at it. Honestly. And of course, he thought he'd find a woman with a woe-begone face and a grunt. And instead of that, she was singing a song of praise. Why, he said, I'm surprised. I thought that you would be very much discouraged. He said, discouraged? I know that tomorrow I'll be dispossessed if I don't have to rent, but here's an opportunity for God to show his faithfulness, and he did. He didn't leave her alone. He'll never leave you nor forsake you if you walk upon the highway of holiness, and that highway is the highway of faith. And beloved, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because faith alone glorifies God. Jesus says that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And my faith anchors me to Jesus Christ, unites me to Jesus Christ, and anchors him in me, binds him to me. Thank God. He redeemeth your life from destruction. That's his job. I don't have to tell him how to do it. I don't have to tell him how to bear my sins and take it away and deliver me from unrighteousness. He knows how to do that. But I must believe him. And in real faith, thank him. And I don't have to tell him how to heal my sicknesses. He knows how. He has borne them, thank God. Oh, how wonderfully able Jesus is. And that is the difference that we ought to learn from Psalm 103.